In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our society is so big, it's overwhelming sometimes. There's so many people, there's so many problems, there's so much shampoo at Walmart. It's just overwhelming how many things there are. And I think oftentimes, I'm positive of this, that in modern society, people have a certain loneliness many times, a feeling of not being significant. Just being a cog in the wheel, a very small cog, or maybe even a cog that's not even attached to the machine. People feel this all the time. And in Christianity, I see this problem too. That people feel insignificant. They feel that their problems are just somehow they're not going to get their problems fixed. Sometimes it's even almost a feeling that, well, God cares for others, but not for me. Or that happens to, good things happen to that person, but not to me. That's a very common problem. I see it all the time. Perhaps you've wrestled with this problem yourself. Now, the roots of this problem, really, there's a lot of pride involved in this problem. I mean, a humble man doesn't really think that I'm not special. Did you know that? A humble man doesn't think that. A humble man actually thinks he's made in the image of God, and that he's precious, but he's not worthy of that gift that God has given him. That's what a humble man thinks. And so anything that comes upon him, it doesn't really bother him, whether it's good or bad, whether he's poor or rich, sick or healthy. It doesn't matter because he's just focused on God. But for those of us who are not always focused on God, sometimes things just feel very, just too big and too chaotic, and we're not very important in the scheme of things. This happens a lot to caregivers, no matter what you do. I've done nursing. I'm a priest. I've gone into prisons. A lot of times it feels like you're spitting in the ocean because the next sick person that you take care of, well, there's another one after that. And the sick person that you took care of last week comes back and dies a year later. And in prison ministry, it's similar, and in parish ministry. And I think you know in your relationships with people, things ebb and flow, and sometimes people just don't do too well, and sometimes you just feel like you really are helpless to help or to do anything. And sometimes people even do have be tempted with these thoughts that God doesn't really care, or somehow I'm not important enough, or that situation is not important enough for God to care about. We hear about all these great healings in the Bible and everything else, but God doesn't really reach me. That happens all the time. I see it all the time. Perhaps you see it in your own life or in the life of those you know. Well, I'm here to tell you God does care. This gospel is about that. Now, I just recently finished listening to a book. We serialize books at home, and Marina generally reads them. I very rarely read them, but she reads them aloud. She's been doing it to the kids and to the grandkids forever. Ever since we've had children, we've serialized books. And we serialized a book called The Bronze Bow. Reminds me very much of what happens here with the Widow of Nain. First, let's tell her story, and then I'll tell you a fictional story that's not really fiction, because it's describing real-life people. We don't know who those real-life people are, but I guarantee you they're out there. They were out there at the time of Jesus, then they're out there right now, going through difficulties, problems, mundane things in life, sins, depression, losing jobs, etc., etc. They're out there. And in our day, right now at this moment, we're in the midst of a pandemic that who knows if it'll go away. But there's a lot of isolation, and there's a lot of mental and spiritual illness because of this pandemic, and there's a lot of feeling insignificant, and feeling lonely, and feeling kind of small. Now, we should feel small in terms of our virtue, but we should feel big in terms of that God loves us in every circumstance, in everything we do. So let's talk about the widow of Nain first. So there's this little city, Nain, and the Lord is walking through it with a big old entourage. And when you have big old entourages, big old things are going to happen. But there's a widow that's lost her son. And so there's a funeral procession. Now, being a widow in that day was just not something you wanted to do. If you were a widow, and you didn't have any children, especially sons, to help you, you were going to live a life of poverty. Maybe you'd be forced into prostitution or something, or maybe you'd just up and die. It was not a good thing. There was no safety net back then. People cared very little about the poor back then. So it was a bad thing to be a widow and to lose your only son. So not only was she losing her son after having lost her husband, but she also was looking at a life of poverty, a very difficult life ahead. So the funeral bearer is going to the funeral, and this widow that probably almost nobody in Nain knows her name, nobody in the entourage probably knows her name except for one very important person who knows her name. So he goes to the bier, and they're walking along, and he stops it with his hand. It's a very significant movement. The fathers talk about this, and I think you should be able to feel this resonate. He loves us, so he touches us. And in touching the bier, he made them stand still. She was immersed in her grief, but he said, "Don't cry. Don't weep." Only he can say that. We don't have the authority to tell people not to weep, because we can't fix what it is that's making them weep. But he goes to the bier, touches it, makes them stand still, and says, "Don't weep." And then, of course, he raises her son from the dead. An insignificant widow. We don't know her name. We don't know the name of the son. But he intervened in this widow's life because he cares. And in fact, I'm quite certain that he could have gone to another city or another locale that day, but he chose to go there. Like the Good Samaritan in the parable who journeys to the man. As he journeys, he goes to the man on the side of the road. It's not a haphazard journey. He chose to go to Nain on that day, not only on that day, but on the time that the funeral procession would cross his path. If she had gone an hour earlier, he would not have seen her, or an hour later. He made that choice, and he's always making that choice for us. You are significant. Everything about you matters. Your feelings matter. The things that make you happy or sad matter. Whether you can feel God in your heart or not matters. All of it matters to God. Now, it's a mystery to us why it is that it appears that someone is not getting attention, especially if it's us. That's a great mystery. But that's just a lie of the demons. We're always getting attention. We have to be in a state that when God visits us, which is constantly, we can feel him and know him. I recently just wrote something about sexual sins, which are, you know, a favorite thing in society now to talk about and to rejoice in. And we just recently heard that the Pope made a pronouncement, which is just veiled heresy. He couched it in ways that are very smart and very crafty. But if anybody has any knowledge of true Christianity, he just spoke heresy. The idea to have supposedly civil unions, but then he goes further than that, that they cannot participate fully in the life of the church. Well, but there's many people that believe that one can have any sexual, what's the word we can't use now? Sexual preference. Any sexual preference. And the dictionary companies, I don't care about them. Sexual preference. And it's okay, because God blesses it. There are people who really believe that, and I'm sure you know some of those people. Now, they will believe that until there's an enlightenment in their soul. We can't provide that enlightenment. We can't really give them logical facts, and then they just see by the brilliance of our argument, and by the scriptures we have quoted, and by the traditions that we've told them about, and by statistics and everything else, they're not going to believe unless there's enlightenment. And that's the same with you and me, whether it be about a sexual sin or whether it be about anything else. When our heart is prepared, then God's message to us gets through. Until our heart is prepared, we don't understand him. And so when people think they're being ignored by God, it's just because they don't understand him. They're not able to take in what God is giving them. This widow was full of grief, and then he said, "Don't weep." I would think it might have been that there might have been a flare of anger in her. How dare he say that to her? We don't know for sure. But it was just unbelievable to her that she should not weep. And yet, in a moment, she was full of joy. So her heart was prepared quickly. But our hearts sometimes take a little longer. I want to tell you about this book, The Bronze Bow. I recommend it for all children. I recommend it for all adults. I recommend that you read books to one another at home. This is a wonderful book. It's a children's book, but it's really has some beautiful things in it. I don't want to go through too much of the plot because I'm not trying to give you a book report here, but there was something in the end of the book that just absolutely grabbed at me. And I guarantee you, I know when something hits me that I'll never forget it. And this is something that I'll never forget. So let me tell you a little bit of the background. There's a young man, he's a Jew, it's during the time of Jesus' sojourn on the earth. And he lives in a little backward city, and he's a blacksmith. And he's had lots of difficulties in his life. His father had been killed by the Romans, executed because of a failed attempt to rescue someone. And he was bitter. His sister, because of the crucifixion that occurred and having seen it, basically became catatonic, became extremely mentally ill. They thought she was demonized. And he kind of had just a hard, hard time. And he was filled with hate. Hate was all that he had to feed on. And all he wanted to do was kill the Romans. So he thought he'd be a zealot. And certain things happen, and he gets disappointed. But in that time, he does go to Capernaum and see Jesus preaching on the seashore. And there's something about his voice, something about the way he speaks that really moves him. But he wasn't ready because he didn't understand. Supposedly, Jesus was going to be the Messiah who was going to help them conquer Rome. But he was talking all this other stuff. So he wasn't really ready to hear him. And he saw him preach another time. And then another time he actually visited him. And Jesus basically told him, "You've got hate, you have to love." He wasn't ready for that message. And the story could end there. Except, of course, this is fiction, but it's not fiction. Because this kind of thing absolutely must have happened, where Jesus went to someone who wasn't ready in order to help them become ready. He was filled with hate, but he was starting to see things happening in his life that God was arranging, that his idea to just conquer Rome, it was a fool's errand, that there was something else that he should be thinking of, but he wasn't ready to think of that thing yet. And then his sister Leah, who was the one who was mentally ill off and on, and then had gotten better, and then because of an outburst by him, had retreated back into her catatonia and was sick and was in a fever and was going to die. And he didn't know what to do with himself. And Jesus came to the house and healed his sister. Jesus didn't know where the house was. Jesus didn't even know what city Daniel lived in. It was a city, small little town outside of Capernaum. But he came to heal him, because he met Daniel where he was and changed him completely. Now, like I said, this is fiction, but it's not fiction. Because all the time people are having their hearts changed by Jesus in some mystical, magnificent way. And nobody knows their name. I would assume that if you wrote a sequel to this book about the bronze bow, Daniel would still be a blacksmith. He would have married his sweetheart. Nothing great and earth-shattering, but he would have had love in his heart. And he would have found the kingdom because he would have loved instead of hated. This kind of thing is happening all the time. And it's happening to you as well. It's happening to your friends and to your loved ones. it's happening to those that you don't like very well. Jesus is arranging things. God is arranging things so the person is ready. Now, some people are never ready. That doesn't stop God from keeping on and arranging things. I'm not talking about manipulating things now. Not at all. But God is at work all the time for our salvation. So we're not alone. We're not insignificant. If you really understand that, then you will have a deep humility within yourself. You won't feel like you're all that, like, look at me, I'm special. Not at all. You'll have this deep gratitude that God has saved you. And out of that gratitude comes just power. Power from you. Like the wellsprings of water coming out of the belly, as the Lord described the Holy Spirit. And then you live a life that is just incandescent. Just above mundane things. And still, you're probably not going to make it into any history book or any lives of the saints or anything else. But you are significant. You do matter. That's what this gospel's saying. And that's what this book told me. That in the midst of all the things that are happening in our life, the difficulties and the tragedies and our mental problems and the mistakes we make and the friends that we lose because we were an idiot and all the things that happen, in the midst of all that, God is present. And you really do matter. And He's saving you. That's the message. It's really a beautiful one. It gives me much hope. So don't think that you're an insignificant person. You're not. Also, don't think that there's anything particularly outrageously special about you either. I mean, you're a sinner. You're lazy. You don't always say your prayers. You probably cuss. You know, you do this and you do that. But in the midst of all the chaos and all the things that are happening to you and that you're doing, God is. He is present. Just like He was to the widow of Nain. When He did not accidentally appear when that funeral procession was happening. Just remember that. If you remember that, then I think you won't feel so isolated from God. And then you'll start to pray and start to care about other people. And then your life will just become joyful. Not easy. Not easy. In fact, I don't want any of you to have an easy life. None of you. If you have an easy life, that means you won't be saved. Because a Christian who has a heart that is being filled with God sees other people that don't have hearts being filled with God. And that's not easy. May God help us. We are significant. We matter. All of us. God bless you.